I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Getty Brigham, Robert Graham, and Scott Perino. Coming up on TMS, Blue Crotch, brought to you by Vicks.
So long, farewell, off-leader's ex-wife.
Moisten your reed.
Getting drilled with an eggplant.
Oompa Loompas. Why did it have to be Oompa Loompas?
Parental discretion face.
Timothy Chalamet-Dunaway.
Beaver ruin.
Crotch-a-septic.
Haddadashery.
Sorry for the maggots.
Buy milk and have fun doing it.
Prison sentences are now 20% off.
Crime doesn't pay when it's on sale.
Series S socks with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The following feature has been rated R by the Motion Picture Association of America. It is intended for mature audiences and parental discretion is advised.
I am sick of her face, but I love her voice.
The Morning Stream. He's taking a dump in a can.
You know what? Before I forget, congratulations to Scott Fletcher's daughter, Kara, who just graduated college.
Yeah. I saw the photos this weekend on Facebook. Yes, yeah, so cool.
It's pretty awesome. She's going into special ed education, and she got a Bachelor of Science in that. And I just think that's awesome. She's all grown up. Congratulations to all the Fletchers for all their great accomplishments in their lives. That's and right. Welcome to the Morning Stream. Sorry, go ahead.
Is she the one who blew a trombone in your ear during one of the blindfolded...
No, that was the youngest one, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. I didn't hear that or expect that to happen, and that hurt. I remember that hurt my ears.
This was an old, for those of you who don't remember, this was an old Nurtacular during one of the game show things that I was doing. We had Scott blindfolded to identify a Funko Pop or something.
Yeah.
And or it might have been the Taboo movie poster Taboo or something. But anyway, we had the youngest Fletcher daughter show up with her trombone and just go in Scott's ear.
Yeah, right in my freaking ear, you guys. I have to admit, it really caught me off guard because I was like, what is that? Yeah. Where is that even coming from? I had no idea.
A little bit of spit comes out.
A little bit of spit every time. Yeah, that's the way
it
works.
Right through the brass.
Oh, yeah. Man. Freaking brass instrument reeds, like the reeds they use.
Oh, I know. Got to suck on my reed to make it a little softer before I perform today.
It's so foul. I just feel like as a modern society, we should have a better way of getting that work done, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Gross. Yeah. Moist reed. Anyway, we're here to do a show. We're glad to be back, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. We got a follow-up from Jay. You know Jay Funktastic in our crowd.
I do know Jay Funktastic. Had the pleasure of meeting him and his girlfriend in New Orleans. We had a muffalata sandwich together. I don't know if it was a muffalata, but we did have a sandwich at a place that made muffalatas right down the street from the freaking beignet place. It was nice. Fantastic.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Oh man,
beignets. on the coldest weekend of the year in New Orleans. Like,
oh, what was it? But was it cold? I don't remember.
It was cold and windy. It was like 40 something degrees. And the week before and the week after, it was like in the 60s and 70s.
Nothing weirder, nothing colder than when the South gets a cold snap and it's still humid and everything just goes right through you, just tears right through.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. You're wearing it. You walk outside and you are the snowman
to the bone.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not good. Anyway, tip of the hat to
Jay Fantastic wrote in.
Yeah, Jay wrote in. Or he actually called in, is what he did.
Oh, called in. Okay.
Because we had said something to him via the chat when the Sound of Music came up. And Brian had finally seen this film. So this was we had a whole conversation. Anyway, this is his follow-up to give us a little bit of context. So enjoy.
Hi, Scott and Brian. This is for TMS. This is Jay Funktastic. Yesterday during the pre-show, I threatened to leave the chat if Brian kept singing the songs from The Sound of Music. I didn't mean I was leaving because of Brian singing. Brian, you have a lovely singing voice. No, I threatened to leave because that was my ex-wife's favorite movie. And for 8 long years, I had to suffer the extended edition Blu-ray of that movie at least once a month, along with her singing those songs all the time around the house. So now, whenever I hear those songs, all I have is her shrill, out-of-tune meat grinder of a voice banging around my head for the rest of the day. So that's why I threaten to leave. Love you, boys. Gotcha. Keep up the good work. Love the show, though.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Man.
I hope at the divorce hearing when the you know, the judge said, all right, that settles that. I guess he doesn't do that. They usually do one in a conference room or something. Mm. But on her way out, you went, goodbye, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, good night.
And bobbing up and down like that, like Brian. You guys, the people listening at home, you missed Brian's dance. That was pretty good. I'm sorry to hear that she was such a shrill singer. That's a bummer. You know,
yeah, it is a bummer. Jeez.
Did that contribute to? I want to ask further questions. Was that part of the reason you divorced her? Is because, you know,
I'm sure that wasn't. You know, that there were probably much bigger reasons.
Probably, but one would assume. But it's the little stuff that gets under your fingernail.
Yeah,
right?
it's that was kind of like, I never have to hear that again. Thank goodness. Oh wait, Brian is singing it. Crap.
Kind of, what are we gonna do? Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for that, Jay. We appreciate the follow through. Okay. You know the Farrago soundboard that I use?
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's great. It's like, hey, Scott, can you play the, let's see, let's do part of the film sack intro. Oh, look at that. I can play that. Sure. Hey, Scott, can you play, I don't know, a Diablo thing?
Call her home.
Oh, sure, I can play a Diablo
really
thing.
Really easy when you're looking at it. But hey, Scott, quickly, play Slurp My Butt.
Slurp.
Hold on a second.
I'm going to find
Punk.
It.
Oh, no, that's not it.
I got to find. See, it's not in there.
No, that's not it.
It actually has
Eats
to be
grass.
In here.
Oh, no, that's not
it. It has to be in here for me to get it, and that one's not in there. But anyway, so that actually is part of the story here. They have a search now, which is great. So if you have multiple boards, I think I have 12 in here that are all set up for different shows. I can search across them and find something very quickly if it's in here. So if I was looking for, I don't know, let's just look for anything with Brian on it. So here's one.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
That's the first result. Okay. But what happens with this search is it now populates it with not only stuff that's locally in your version, but also results from freesound.com, which seems like a cool way to find something maybe you might need, you know?
Sure, right, all of a sudden, yeah.
So absolutely. I've got like, here's one called Brian 5W. I don't even know what it is, but I'll just play it. See what happens here. Sometimes it loads. There we go. See, I don't know what that is.
Brian 5W.
So it's somebody doing something. Here's one called Brian Eno Type Beat.
Okay.
This is kind of like a Brian Eno style music.
Yeah.
So it's all these like free
with
things.
With no beat whatsoever.
Yeah, there's zero beat in there. Yeah. Which might actually make, this might actually make what I'm about to play make sense. The fact that these results are kind of bad.
Yeah.
The other day I searched for, where is it? I think I just searched for Film Sack or something. And it gave me a bunch of results. And one of them was this. And I'll just play it for you. And by the way, the file was called CV. That's all I knew. All right. I'm like, what's CV? Okay. That's weird. I'll play that. So I hit play and this is what I got.
My favorite candy is called the vagina.
What's that about? Do you guys over at Rogue Amoeba really want these search results? They're nonsense.
Is this what you want to have happen when somebody uses your search?
Yeah, that's, it's just nonsense. Wow. It's just total nonsense. And you can disable it. It's not a thing you have to use. But, you know, if I search, so let's get a little weird here. And let's say I search.
You do have that permanently now, though, right? That is like.
Oh, hell yeah. We're keeping that.
Yeah. Good,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, this is a great find. But let's give me a keyword. Let's just try one.
All right. Sunflower.
Sunflower. All right.
Something that's really often connected with audio, with sound.
So now it's doing the results. Okay, so here we have, here's one. I'll hit play. It's like a little audio soundscape, crickets.
Yeah, you can visualize some sunflowers blowing in the breeze.
Here's another one. This is eating a sunflower seed. Oh, you'll love that then.
God, please. Yeah.
Yeah, let's turn that off. Misophonia.
Make it stop.
There's one called Food Fight. Let's see what that is. It's taking a little while to load. Oh, it's a 9-minute thing. Oh,
it's a very going to be a very quiet track if it's a sunflower seed food fight.
What is this? Oh, it's birds fighting over their
birds
feed.
Birds fighting over sunflower seeds, yeah. Sure.
There's another one, hot sunflower oil in a stock pot. Hot sunflower oil in a stock pot with several something in it. I can't read the rest of that. Let's see. Kitchen atmosphere with clicky sunflower sounds. Like, it's doing what it's supposed to do. But if you search for anything that's even remotely risque.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, not that this is an app kids use, but, like, you know. Like, if I went.
Let's do something that, like, you know, normally you wouldn't think of risque, but you put in the right context. Eggplant.
I like that. That's actually a good one. Okay, eggplant, one word. Oh, no results. I'm surprised.
Oh, really? All right. Maybe not eggplant.
I'll try this two words, see if it changes. I doubt it, though. Oh, it did somehow. Okay, so here's eggplant. Let's see what happens. I'll just play it. Okay, here you go.
How about fixing the cable?
Like, what is that?
That's so not eggplanty.
No, it's not at all. Fixing the cable.
Someone's getting drilled with an eggplant, apparently. That's what's happening there.
All right, let me try fixing the cable. Here's what you get. Okay. That sounds like maybe somebody's trying to fix a cable, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, with their tongue, perhaps.
Yeah. If I do, let's see. What's
tra,
this?
Tra, shirf, ot, you.
I don't know what any of that is. That's my point, though. These results are terrible. Yeah. Why even tie your service to this? It seems stupid to me. And if I search for the word vagina, like our last clip had, which is not what I searched for the first time.
Sure.
There's a ton of this, and I don't want to play these because I'm nervous. Like, here, listen to this one.
I don't want to play these, but here's one right now.
I mean, let me read you one. I'm going to play it. Many vaginal vocal variations. I don't want to find out what that means.
You totally do, though, right?
All right, let's try this one. Hopefully this isn't bad. Yeah. Let's see. This one says, that cloud looks like a vagina.
Cloud looks like a vagina.
Oh, it's that guy. So it's our guy.
It's the same guy. It's his favorite candy, and it's also his favorite cloud.
How about this one?
Vagina much?
Wow, so he really, that's all. He just sat in a room for a weekend and recorded 5,000 variations on the word vagina.
Okay. How about this one?
Vagina. Vagina. Vagina.
I give up. It's too weird.
Oh, jeez.
It's too weird. So I'm not using that feature anymore is what I'm saying. We're done with that. I held on to something from... I teased it last week that I had something from Joey Image, our wrestling fan.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Previous wrestler. He's not wrestling anymore.
Fan. Wrestling, yeah.
Wrestling.
I'm a fan of him.
Yeah, luminary. Luminary, Joey Image.
Wrestling celebrity.
And
celebrity.
I'm just saying we should probably, somebody needs to just go knock on his door, make sure everything's all right, because this
Okay.
This is what he put up on some social thing, and I had to capture it. It's so weird. Here you go.
It's time to go buy some milk. Please have a great time buying milk.
What do you do with that? Isn't that weird? That's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah. Maybe it's, you know, he basically just, this is how he does his reminders. Basically, he says, all right, at 1 o'clock, remind me to buy milk. And instead of just your phone, your Siri saying, please buy milk. And he has to play this audio, which also not only reminds him to buy milk, but also wishes him a good time buying it.
Oh, that's true. Don't just buy milk. Buy milk and have fun while you're buying
it. Buy milk and have fun doing it. Exactly.
All right. Well, then, look, those are the kind of results I want out of my sound searches. I don't want no more vaginas.
Right. Can you upload that to the whatever that
freesound.com? Yeah, we could do it. I don't know. They don't even, I mean, that's just some kind of site with an API, I think. I think anybody.
Yeah, it's just finding things that other people have posted and tagged carefully online.
Yeah, and you would be shocked how many of them, like most of the internet, are sex related.
Yes. Oh, really? Shockeroni.
Yeah,
and,
real
and
shock.
How many of the sex related ones, about 84%, are just that guy who's like, you know, doing slogans. The best part of waking up is vagina.
The vagina.
With a name like vagina, it has to be good.
The kind of guy, he's the kind of guy I either want to meet and hang out with or totally avoid.
Every kiss begins with vagina.
Vagina. Every kiss.
Candy.
Candy. Anyway, Joey, thanks for that weirdness, and I hope you're all right. Okay? And you should be happy while getting your milk. Have a good time while buying
That's right.
your milk.
Please do, yes.
Yeah. Right. We don't do milk anymore. We do the oat milk.
The
now.
Soy. Oh, the oat. Yeah, right. We do the oat as well. Yeah. Boy, have I found, thanks to, can't remember who it was, but somebody in our tadpool suggested Calafia Farms for coffee creamer. Boom. Love it. There's like a barista blend oat milk coffee creamer that they make that is, it's fantastic.
Why is that
familiar? They recommended the coconut one. I'm not a huge coconut fan, so I got some of that. I'm like, not so much that, but the oat milk that's just straight up unsweetened, unflavored oat milk creamer is great.
Is it they're the ones with the blue, kind of bluish?
Yeah, bluish, and their box is shaped like part of a German industrial factory.
Oh yeah, there it is. Look at that. Those are cool. I like that packaging. Yeah. Okay, we have a bottle of this. I've never tried it for anything because I'm not a coffee drinker, but.
Yeah,
Kim uses it for something, and I'll find out. This looks great.
It's super good. Adds a little bit of softening of the coffee flavor without adding any flavor to distract you from it. So it's very, very good.
Oh, and they got peppermint mocha. They got holiday nog.
They do. They have good flavors. And I did try their Tina wanted me to try their vanilla because she likes vanilla flavor in her coffee, and is like, oh, this is good too.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm gonna go back to the original, but nice every once in a while to get a little flavored thing. And as you know, as the two Mels, the Emma, the Jerry, and the—I can't remember who else. Who am I forgetting? The Beckham said, "Spice up your life."
Yeah, there you go. They have a matcha that you just pour on ice. Ooh, I like matcha.
Yeah.
All right.
I decided, by the way, I signed up for so Magic Mind, they figured it out. Oh, we're going to suggest a sponsorship for Soundography, and we're going to send them samples and have them try it for 5 days and see what they think so they can do their sponsorship.
Got it.
I loved it, man. I totally signed up for a subscription.
Those are good, right?
They're really good, and yeah. I totally noticed a difference in the days that I took it.
Yeah. No, we could tell on the show. I totally could tell.
Yeah, you could tell here because I was.
Yeah, you weren't. It wasn't that. It wasn't like that.
It wasn't
you
were hyper,
like,
but
just
I was.
Tell you had like new energy. It's hard
I had
to
new energy for sure.
You know what I could go for today? I could go for some new energy. That's what I could.
Yeah,
do.
Yeah.
I got one up in the fridge.
Great '80s band, New Energy.
I have a whole box of them in the fridge. I should just take
do
one.
You?
Yeah.
And you should totally.
I know.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it this morning. I should have grabbed one.
MagicMind.com/BrianIbbett, all caps. Two B's, two T's, and Ibbett.
Nice.
MagicMind.com/BrianIbbett.
Yep. Get that last
Wish
thing,
we could
right.
do. I don't know why they didn't do Soundography, but now Hammond has to tell people it's /BrianIbbett.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's weird. Okay. Soundography is easier to spell if you don't know your last name.
Yeah. It is. It totally is, right? You can sound out Soundography.
Yeah. Ibbett is a bit of a shot in the dark. You're like, is it IBBT or IBBOT?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Tell me all about the Willy Wonka movie, because I heard it was good.
Yeah. Saw that Saturday night and went in very hopeful because I'm a fan of Neil Hannon, who did the songwriting, the composing, and he's a lead singer and singer-songwriter for a band called The Divine Comedy, one of my favorite bands. So when I found out he was involved, I'm like, oh, great. Well, he apparently, I mean, I don't know this, but based on how good it was, the sound for the soundtrack, I'm sure he listened a ton to the Anthony Newley original for the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka movie and really captured that sound, that musical sound. And this is a musical, One of my friends that works at a movie theater says, yeah, we get a lot of old people coming up to the complaint or the customer service desk complaining about Wonka, saying, I didn't think it was going to be a musical.
Oh, geez.
It's like, what? Have you not seen any of the, even the Johnny Depp one was a musical?
Yeah, even that had music in it. Yeah. I mean, the one that everyone loves and thinks of from their childhood, that thing was chock full of it.
Absolutely. It was totally full of music. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, like the movie itself, frickin' has so much damn heart in it. Tina and I came out of that thing. Like, this was opening weekend, but we saw it Saturday and it had opened Thursday. The movie ended and people are, you know, usually on a Thursday night, you see a movie very opening night. People applaud when it's over if they enjoyed it,
yeah.
But usually not all the way through the weekend. Saturday night, people seeing this and it was like the audience applauded like at the end of the film.
That's great.
Nobody had to hear it. Yeah. They loved it.
Sure.
It's beautifully done. The story is heartwarming and sweet. They don't try to make, you know, they don't try to explain every Willy Wonka thing. Mm. In the prequel, like the Indiana Jones one that we keep bringing up. they basically say, here's who he is, here's why he is some of the way he is, but we're not going to explain every single darn thing about it.
And again, it is a direct prequel to the Gene Wilder movie.
It's a direct prequel to the Gene Wilder movie. Yeah, there, yeah. You know, the Oompa Loompa song gets its, you know, you hear it in this.
How's Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa guy?
He's great. Yeah. He's he's actually the special effects for that are great, but he pulls it off, and it's just funny because he kind of pronounces it Oompa Loompa. As opposed to Oompa Loompa.
Really?
So when he's singing, Oompa Loompa, doopa dee doo. But that aspect was great. Timothy Chalamet did kind of the thing you wanted Timothy Chalamet to do, to be prominent, but not to overdo it. Gene Wilder was a good singer, but he wasn't like, you know, he's not. Frank Sinatra level or Michael Bublé or something like that.
Right.
And Timothy Chalamet, kind of the same kind of thing, you know, really good at enunciating while he sings and hitting the notes so you can understand the lyrics and all that sort of thing. But he didn't need to be any more than that. And he wasn't.
Was there ever a scene where he yelled at the top of his lungs, freedom for Arrakis? Or anything like that?
He never did. No.
Okay.
No, he never.
That's a shame.
The only thing you will ever connect with Timothy Chalamet, apparently, is Dune.
Yeah, well, you got to put, but, you know.
Then don't watch his what he does with an apricot.
You got to put a hand. You got to put a hand in a box that wants to kill you, while a lady holds a little stinger thing next to your neck. All those things. I expect that in all Timothy Chalamet films moving forward. That's just the deal.
Yeah.
Well, good. There was half a dozen people at our family get together last night that also saw it and loved it. Everybody was raving about it. Little kids liked it. Yeah. Adults liked it. I got a big old tough gun owning, you know, traditionalist dude in our extended family who was like, oh, really? I loved Wonka. It was
and
so
he liked
good.
It. Oh my God, that's fantastic.
He loved it. He also liked Barbie. So that guy's a mystery. That guy's a mystery. I can't figure him out. that's great though. We want to see it. And I'm glad to hear it's not. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why I was like, you know, we got this. Timothy Chalamet's in danger of overexposure these days.
Sure, sure.
And I understand when people get a little weird about that, or they get down on somebody simply because.
Look at what happened. There was such a backlash about Chris Pratt, right? Because he's doing the voice of this, and now he's doing the voice of that, and now he's in this movie, and he's in this other thing.
Yeah, it can be too much, or at least feel like it's too much sometimes.
Yeah,
but I'm fine with him. He's fine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's a weird looking, skinny looking little dude.
he's a talented kid. And deserves the praise he's getting. He was funny on SNL. He's funny when he's being parodied by Chloe Fineman on SNL.
Yeah. I liked it when he was it was the SNL one, a previous guest starring of his where him and Pete Davidson are doing that rap thing. The yeet. Yeet!
Oh yes, yeah.
Right. That put me in stitches. That made me laugh so hard.
he's good at kind of a little self-deprecation like that.
Yeah. Spice must flow. All that. He's great. Right. Anyway, well, that's cool.
It'll be nice for you to see in other movies, and so that, you know, Dune isn't the only thing you can think of.
It's all I can think of right now. I will admit it. That and The King. He was really good.
Dune and Yeet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Dune, Yeet. Apparently being very inappropriate with a peach or something, according to you and others.
That's right.
What's that from? What's that movie?
Apricot. Call Me by Your Name.
Call Me by Your Name. All right.
Yes.
I think I'll avoid it. It sounds awful. I don't want to.
You know, everything else about that movie is really sweet and really nice. And yeah.
Just the peach part.
Just the peach. Apricot, Scott. Apricot.
Apricot, sorry. All right, let's have some fun with Dunaway. All right, our very own yeah. Timothy Chalamet like yeah. character here on the show. He comes on.
He has the same hair as Timothy Chalamet for sure. Right?
Yeah, he's a right. he's an entertainer. He's the ladies like him.
They do.
He's all those things and more. Here we go. That music designates that it's time for the Morning Half-Asses, and joining us on the phone, as always, for this is Mr. Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian.
No. Hi, Scott and Brian. How is Hello. Your building up to Christmas week? Oh, how's it going?
You know, getting it done. We're getting
yeah,
there.
Yeah, still have a few more things I need to to order.
I'm not liking the lack of enthusiasm here. It's got me worried.
You know, as soon as I feel like I'm on top of all the things that I need to do before Christmas, I will be able to sit back and enjoy the week
there
leading
you go.
Up to Christmas.
There you go.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean yeah, that's yeah. that's absolutely true. How about you though? How are you doing with all your Christmas preparation and fun?
I'm ready, man. I've already got my feet kicked up going, bring it on. Where are my gifts? Come in, get to know me better, man.
Get to know me better, man. But you're like us. You're like me and Brian, where we're like, we don't need anything.
No,
I don't need anything. I want, though. Gimme. It's like still, the Garfield thing.
It's just like J.D. McPherson. By the way, great album. If you haven't listened to it yet, now's the time of year to listen to Socks by J.D. McPherson. It is a great Christmas album that is no covers at all originals. And
you're
fantastic.
Getting socks for Christmas, just
you're getting
like
socks
that.
For Christmas. There's a whole song about getting socks for Christmas. Why waste wrapping paper on a stupid pair of socks?
I agree.
But one of his songs.
You get pairs of socks. Always get multiple pairs. I get like six pairs of socks.
Really?
Yeah.
Every year, I could actually use a few pairs of socks. I hope I get some this year.
Yeah.
I'm right on the cusp with my feet being too big, so it's like all the socks are like 8 to 12. Mm. That's U.S. sizes, and I wear 13s. So if you go 13 or above. They always go,
you know what they
that's
say.
That's going to be a special order. Yeah, they say it's expensive socks is what they say.
Big feet, expensive socks.
That's
big,
right.
Holy that's crap. Exactly what they say.
How come you, so you're, how tall are you, Dunaway?
I'm like 5'11".
Okay. So you're 5'11". I'm 6'3 and a half, almost 6'4". Why do you have these gigantic boat feet? And I have
for balance.
I can wear. I can get away with 9 and a half.
You ever seen Rayman? You know how everything is like he's got giant hands and feet. That's me. I'm like average size, giant hands and feet, and my arms don't exist. It's just
weird. See, because mine's all giant head, tiny feet. Don't know why.
Yeah, Dunaway apparently is built like one of those L-shaped rulers we had in drawing school.
Yeah.
Love those things.
I'm well balanced. I am well balanced.
Those had a name.
They had a name. I can't remember what they are.
Oh.
It wasn't a triangle. It wasn't a T-square. It was like with those weird. It was just a right
protractor?
Triangle. Right.
Not protractor. Right. No, it's like really? The big. What Brian's talking about is exactly the right thing. It's like a big L.
L-shaped.
And sometimes triangle. They were large.
We're talking about an L.
Yeah, they were sometimes very big. You could use them on a drafting table or something. Mm-hmm. And they had a name. Yeah.
You mean with the thing that we all called L's because that's what it looked like. Did it have a name? Right. It was L. Give me the L.
Yeah, give me the L. Give me the lose, the loss, or whatever. Whatever the kids say today. Anyway, let's play this game. It's the half-asses, and Brian will explain how it works and who will win what.
That's correct. Yes, you're welcome to the Morning Half-Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct, and three of those, like Timothy Chalamet and Anything But Dune, are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if they get anything wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Get one right, gets a point. get two right, gets two, I'm sorry, 3 points. I don't even understand my own game. Get two right, gets you 3 points, get all three correct, you get 5 points total. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And who are our contestants? Well, let me tell you right now. Scott, you're going to be playing for Jonathan in Houston. Brian, you're going to be playing for Jason in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Oh, somebody close by.
Baby, that. I know where Goose Creek is. Yeah, I'll go hand deliver it. No, I won't. All right.
You go. Just dump it on the side of the road like those TVs you always pick up. Do it that way.
Right, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Or a couch.
I don't pick them up off the side of the road anymore.
You do anymore, but you did for a while there. Look, Dunaway will take your CRT no matter how you give it to him. He doesn't care.
He will, totally. Yes, look, exactly.
Look, it's like
that's falling out, I'll take
I have, look, I've got a truck, and anytime I pick up a CRT, I don't even look at it until I get home, and I go, oh, okay, cool. And if it's something I want to keep, I keep it. If not, I go ahead and deliver it to the dump.
Whenever,
the dump is just right up the road from me. Yeah, but listen to
the way you described it. Whenever I'm picking up a CRT, that means it's a regular thing.
That means it happens more than once.
Yeah.
Whenever, as opposed to when. When I picked up a CRT, that happened once. Whenever I pick up a CRT is all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you think I was denying that I get CRTs? No. Not even close.
No, you get it like this cold won't leave. That's how you get CRTs. Aww. Nice work.
By the way, Claire says...
No, but I want the CRTs.
The L thing that we're talking about is a set square.
Oh, is that the name? Set square.
I think that's right.
That sounds right.
Bobby Frankenberger grew up in Goose Creek, where one of our players is from.
You grew up in Goose Creek?
I drive through Goose Creek all the time.
I assume there's a creek. I assume there are geese. I'd like to know more.
and every time I pass by the sign, I always go, oh, Goose Creek. I don't know why. Some places you have to say out loud every time you see the sign.
Goose Creek.
It's one of those places.
Yeah.
That and Beaver Ruin. I always say that too. Beaver Ruin.
Wow.
Beaver Ruin.
Don't do a search for that in your audio thing, Scott. It sounds like the new Nicki Minaj song.
Beaver, her new album is Beaver Ruin, you don't want to know what the tracks are like. Oh, I found one. Here's a beaver. Here we go. Hold on. Here's a beaver chomping on a log. That's not so bad, right? Here you go.
Shouldn't be.
But is he? Does he have like that? Like the Lady and the Tramp whistle thing where he goes 66%? Does he do that?
I wish. Oh, there's one in here that is probably dirty. I'm not playing that. All right. Anyway,
what's the term on the one that's probably dirty?
It's I can't tell you.
Wow, it's that bad.
It's that bad.
Yeah. It's so dirty.
It's very, very crass. If I say it, I'll regret it. I can't say it. I'll put it in Discord while you're doing it.
Red Fraggle, that's the road I'm talking about.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to your first question. Your first question, six answers. Your category is Fallen Angels in Milton's Paradise Lost. So Milton's story, Paradise Lost, features some angels, some fallen... Oh, jeez. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Don't play that clip.
We just got a notice in the Discord. People.
Yeah, we just found out the audio clip that Scott's talking about, and I think my misophonia would be through the roof on that one.
Yeah. Also, it's good. It's good to know they're keeping it within their little matrimony, though, right there.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it's true. Yes, exactly. All right. Anyway, right. Which of these... it's a poem. Thank you, Jeannie. Which of these six fallen... which of these six names are fallen angels in Milton's poem Paradise Lost? Your choices are Baal, Mammon, Moloch, Azrael, Belial, and Gabriel.
Belial. Oh, these are all great Deckard... Belial. These are great Deckard Cain things from Diablo.
Yeah.
Belial is one of my favorites, actually. All right, so we got Azrael, Baal. Is Baal Baal or Baal? I thought it was
Baal, but maybe it is Baal. I don't know.
I just say.
Well, I think it's Baal to the Baal to bang diggy diggy.
Yeah. All I learned about demon names was from Diablo 1, 2, and 3, and 4. So I don't know. I think I know at least two of these, so I'm choosing.
Okay. All right.
And then Brian. You choose what you choose.
You guys are both locked in with two. You guys each locked in on different ones. The two you didn't lock in on were Mammon and Moloch, both of which are fallen angels in Milton's Paradise Lost, meaning that there's no way you guys could do better.
Shit.
Azrael and Gabriel, no, not
don't
in the poem.
Moloch.
Baal, not in the poem, but Belial or Belial is...
We guessed exactly the wrong ones. That is a no.
Just about. Belial. Except for Scott did get Belial.
I got one. I should have stayed with one. Shoot.
You went with the bees.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a reason I put some of these first. It's like, yeah, let's get that one out of the way. It's a fun category. Let's see how they do with it. But we don't want to make it that they're having to rely on it for points.
Yeah.
Rely on this one for points. Which of these are things that have a perfect score that's over 1,000? So when you get a perfect score in one of these things,
over 1,000.
1,000. Your FICO credit reports, Yahtzee, Microsoft Spider Solitaire, bowling, the SAT, and the GMAT. Which of these, when you get a perfect score, it's over 1,000?
Oh my gosh, dude.
Okay, so that's confusing. All right.
Oh, really?
All right, I got you. I think, well, yeah, because I'm reading it backwards, I think. I'm thinking if it's over 1,000, then it has to be perfect. But you're saying things that have a perfect score over 1,000. So some of these things can't go over 1,000, but if they could, they would then be perfect, is what I'm asking.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If it's not possible for something to be over 1,000, then they would not be part of this category, right? So
right.
It okay. has to getting
well,
a perfect
score. Well, I don't know. It's a half asses.
Has to be 1,000 or over, right?
That's 1,000 or over. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's easy.
It's so confusing. Like I said, okay, so it's got to be over 1,000 for it to be perfect. I guess.
Well, it's like, no, it's saying you're no. focused too much on perfect because perfect score yeah. for can vary, right? So one thing
getting,
might be 1,000.
The best score possible in any of these things is over 1,000,
yeah.
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's take the word perfect out of this thing.
Yeah, forget perfect.
But getting the highest score possible with any of these things is over 1,000.
Oh, okay, I got you. So the highest score for any of these is over 1,000. I got you. Okay, Christmas the perfect miracle. Was throwing me.
Yeah.
I'm locking in. I don't know if this is right. The only one that sounds right, there's only one that sounds right to me. The rest of these, but I'm freaking, I have no idea.
All right, now you're both locked in. Okay, you guys both settled on FICO credit reports, FICO credit reports. And I'm sorry to say that, no, a perfect score, perfect FICO credit report is only 850. Bowling,
well, that's what I asked.
Is only 300.
Is that what you asked?
You said it couldn't. You said if it was over that, it couldn't even be on the list. I'm like, okay, so I guess it can't. I guess it has to be here
well, no.
because it's got to be a possibility
no.
of it.
No, they
I
all
said
that,
if it's
yeah,
over
you
that.
Said that. Check the tape. Check the tape.
In this category, in the category of things that have a perfect.
It won't
score
even be on the board if they couldn't.
You can only get 300 in bowling. What are you talking about?
Yeah, bowling's 300.
In Yahtzee, the highest score you can get is 1480 or more. You can, they say you have a plus on there. I don't know what that means.
Right.
Microsoft Spider Solitaire, you could get 1,254 with a perfect score
wow.
on that.
Wow.
The SAT, 1600. The GMAT, only 800, which means, yeah.
Is that the, what is GMAT? What is that? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know if that is either.
The aptitude
general
test.
General math
definitely,
aptitude.
Let's see. It is the
geography?
Graduate management admission
new?
Test.
Oh, okay. So this is like for when you go to graduate school or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's too smart for me. I got you.
The GMAT. You know,
well, I pick FICA because I couldn't even understand the question. So obviously, I would never know anything about the GMAT.
You know what? This just this showed very plainly that none of the three of us were ever graduate students of any kind.
Pretty much. Yeah. Exactly.
We did SATs, but this GMAT, what the hell is that?
So, yeah. Exactly. Never had to do that one. All right. Well, it all comes down to this. Let's see how well you know your cars for points. You got to do this. But you can be strategic. We'll see. We'll see how you do.
I feel like this is going to be the week that Ibbot finally gets sick of our crap and starts giving us easy questions. I think this is going to be finally it.
Which of these are names of Star Wars movies?
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. We're going to have a real drop next time. Look forward to it.
Exactly. Okay, let's get to it. Which of these are actual models of Honda?
Honda.
Oh, Honda.
The Honda Splurge. I'm not going to say Honda before I cheat these. The Splurge, the Dyna, the Jazz, the Echo, the Insight, and the Hobio.
Shit.
If you don't say the Honda in front of it, I'll have to do it in my head. Thank
you. Will.
Be my guest. Be my guest.
I think I know. Because I know. So the problem we're having here is most of this is in Korea or other territories.
Or outside of the U.S.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a guess.
Those sound right.
Splurge.
I've heard those before. I looked at Honda for a little while, so this is some of them sound familiar.
I'm taking two just because it feels like Dunaway took two, so I'm doing two.
I did
Dunaway
take two.
Did take two, as a matter of fact.
I said I took two. I think that's what I, yeah.
All right.
Not a secret.
You guys both settled on the Honda Insight. Yeah, it's probably the easiest one on the board. It's been around since 2000. Absolutely, the Honda Insight. Nobody selected the Honda Hobbio, which is the rebranded Honda Vamos, which is, I think, the Spanish or Latin American. Not exactly sure.
It makes an Echo or something like that?
No Echo. No Splurge. The Echo. Honda Echo. Jazz is the other Honda
shit.
Model.
Shit. Damn it, Dunaway. Frick.
I told you had to go through. You had to go through your head and go, I did Honda Splurge, Honda Echo.
So
Honda
wait,
Dyna.
You got all like, three?
Honda Jazz actually felt right to you?
That sounds
even
good.
Reading the answers, it didn't look right.
No, but Utah Jazz doesn't look right either.
I recently looked at Hondas when I was looking at a car for almost a year. So I looked, the Honda was a serious contender. So I saw a lot of cars.
Mm. So this is mostly in what territory? Well, I guess you said Spanish for the Hobbio.
Yeah, I think Latin America for the, like I said, I don't know why somebody is saying it's a language. I didn't say it was a language. I said it's a part of the country where the Honda Vamos Hobbio would be.
This may be the last week that it does this at all.
It may be the last week that I acknowledge a certain person in the contrarian in the chat.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Honda Jazz comes from, but obviously Honda Insight is here in the U.S.
No, I know where they got it. They bought the Jazz name.
Plus,
from New Orleans.
Every week I race with our good friends. Every week I race our good friends on the Frog Pants and Mission Deep race group, and we play Forza Horizon 5. So I see this car crap.
Oh, really? And you see these models like the Honda Jazz?
I'm not sure I don't know if the Jazz is in there.
Okay.
Like I said, we see a lot of cars.
Yeah, that game's got all right.
That helps you a lot, probably. Yeah,
that one's set in Mexico, and you see a lot of Mexican builds that you've never seen.
So what I'm saying is more car names for me, please.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll make sure to put a category in here every week for you.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll never get another car question again. Damn it.
So congratulations going to Jason Terry in Goose Creek, South Carolina. You're getting a copy of Road Warden and Merchant of the Skies, courtesy of Wesley. Wesley.
Both good games.
And but you know, Jonathan Houston, you get to have some fun over your Christmas break as well with a game called Ozymandias Bronze Age Empire Sim. That sounds fun too.
I haven't played that one.
Congratulations to both of you.
Yeah, the first one really, really won this week. Those two games are great. So we're going to really enjoy those. And big thanks to everybody who sends us in codes for us to give away. If you're anyone sitting around on a big fat pile of stuff you got over at the Humble Bundle and you're never going to go through,
Humble Bundle,
send it over. We'll take them. We'll put him up here.
I like Sick Scott because he has to swallow from time to time. He has to stop in between words, and so he's like, anybody sitting on big piles?
I can't help it, man. My upper respiratory tract is a nightmare right now. Well, Dunaway, you helped somebody win shit, and that's what matters most. Congratulations. Yeah. And you serve somebody in your own state, your own home state of South Carolina.
I know. Keep it local, people.
Keep it local. Farm fresh, to table. See ya. All right, he's gone.
One more Dunaway before the holidays, before Christmas. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's how we should count it all down. One more Dunaway till Christmas.
Just one more Dunaway.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Because 'twas the Dunaway before Christmas.
Come back Wednesday, and he'll be here once again.
That's right.
All right. Well done, everybody. We're going to get into some news, and we're going to do that right now. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Blue Crotch.
So here's
the story of this.
Quick story. Where is it? Here it is. This stuff right here, Vicks VapoCool.
Yeah.
Sore throat medicine stuff. You spray in the back of your throat, right? Whoops.
Back of your throat, yes.
so you're supposed to, and then get it way back.
It's like
there.
A chloroseptic, right? It's basically like a,
cooling, numbing. If you're having really bad sore throat, this is what you're supposed to use. And I had the worst sore throat of my entire life over the last 4 days.
You had a rough business.
Now, I did notice before I used it, this brand new bottle we got. This top part here moves, and I don't know why. It's not like this. It doesn't have it doesn't screw down or up or off.
It's just loose. It's just a constantly pivoting deal.
Yeah. Whereas the top's okay. fine. All seemed fine. Now, here's the problem. As you can see, I barely used any of it, and here's why. I went, three little sprays, and I went, that's actually very nice. I feel the soothing action happen. You know, it's like a commercial almost. I see the blue coating the side view of the thing. And then I look down, and my entire crotch, I'm wearing gray sweatpants. My entire crotch is bright blue all of a sudden.
Oh, no.
So what happens, something with this loose thing up here, some gasket thing, when you spray out the back of this goes bleh, 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 every time you do it, and it all dripped down into my crotch. So this is a defective bottle.
No kidding.
And Vix will hear from my lawyer.
Now I have blue pants.
Yep. I got Dr. Manhattan pants. Nice job.
Right, right. Nice. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to some of these stories real quick. Did we already do the...
We talked about. Oh wait, we talked about doing this one. I think.
Yeah, I don't think we ever got to it.
We never got to the story, but we said make sure to tune in Monday so you can hear about.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
because this is a good one, and because I made a deal out of it, now I feel like I've talked about it, but we totally haven't.
Right, right.
Yeah, Woolworths, you know Woolworths.
Sure, I'm very familiar with Woolworths.
Sure,
it's a five and a dime. It's both of those.
That's both of those things, five and dime, and it's in Australia. So we got another Australian story here. All right, nice. Mates.
That'll make you feel happy.
That's right. He'll love that. Woolworth says sorry after a customer finds maggots crawling in his roast chicken. What are you guys doing down there? Jeez. Customers issued a warning. A customer has issued a warning to other shoppers after she went to eat a hot roasted chicken purchased from the Tasmanian supermarket that reportedly contained maggots. Chicken was bought.
Tasmanian supermarket. Yeah. Woolworths.
Yeah. Woolworths. I think of that as like house goods and stuff.
Right, like a CVS, Walgreens kind of thing. It's like it's, you know, you get that when you need Band-Aids really quick or distilled water or something like that.
Yeah, haberdashery is what we think of.
Right, right.
Well, in Britain, I guess
you a hat place, isn't it? Haberdashery?
Oh, it's haberdashery hats? I don't know. I've never known.
Yeah.
The only time, here's my exposure to haberdashery as a word. I used to watch that British comedy called Are You Being Served?
Are You Being Served? Yes, right.
And they would do that intro song and say, something, something, da da da, suits and things, rapa da da da, and third floor, zubba zubba. And then they'd always say haberdashery, and I'd go, what a weird word. And that's the only exposure I've ever had to haberdashery. I don't know what it is. Anyway.
That's funny. I got to look here. Nope, men's clothing and accessories. What is a hat store then? A haberdashery?
Haberdashery.
Actually, Lucky Phil says a haberdashery is just a... Just a grocery store,
just a
supermarket,
just stuff.
But yeah. But British English, a haberdasher is a business or person who sells small articles for sewing, dressmaking, and knitting, such as buttons, ribbons, and zippers. In the U.S. and Canada, it's a retailer who sells men's clothing, suits, shirts, and neckties.
Oh,
what am I thinking of? What's a hat maker? There's a term for a hat maker.
Yeah, there's something more than just hat maker. It's like if a shoe guy is a cobbler.
Millinery? That's not what I was thinking. Huh. Yeah, I can't remember. There was a...
My word for it's too long. My word is place that never gets my head size right. That's what I call them.
That's right. Hattery? Yeah, that's it, Chris. Thank you.
It's not a hattery. A hattery. Come on.
Yeah. You know, as a hat maker now, this will blow your mind.
Who?
You remember the band The Fix?
Yeah.
Less than or saved by zero or red skies at night.
Yeah.
Cy Curnan, lead singer of The Fix, is a hat maker.
What does his Wikipedia page say about what his profession is called?
You know what? Thank you for that's a great way to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find it the back doorway here.
Let's see.
Hat customizer? That's not it. Hold on.
His Wikipedia page doesn't mention it.
It doesn't mention it?
No.
That seems like burying the headline.
But when they did the Where Are They Now? Or it was bands getting back together on VH1. One of the last things I ever saw on VH1 that was good. They were getting The Fix back together, and they said, now he's a British hat maker.
Oh, you were right the first time. It's a millinery.
Millinery. No, I looked that up.
Millinery?
Yeah, I saw millinery and is like, yeah, that's right, but it's not what I was trying to think of. There was some hat thing.
Hey, anyway. we got hatter is one of them. Hat maker. Yeah. Milliner. That's all they say here. All right. Yeah. Well,
All right. Well,
someone make a hat that fits me. That's all we're.
And then go and fix Sykernan's his Wikipedia page, because it doesn't talk about his hat making at all.
Yeah, exactly. It says, let's see. So back to this thing. This person who went to the store, she says, it sat completely sealed until 7 p.m. when we opened it, the chicken, that is. Started eating and found maggots all throughout the chicken. It's the second time they've alleged to have been in a cooked chicken purchased from different stores in the area this year. Woolworths has apologized to the customer, although they've done it in the British Australian spelling of the word apologized.
Apologized.
We apologize for the maggots. They say they take food quality and safety seriously. I don't know. I'm not sure you do.
Maybe you should check inside your chicken.
Yeah. How seriously, really, do you take it?
Yeah.
The supermarket claims they are not aware of any previous reports or anything of a similar nature. People are encouraged to report poor food hygiene or complaints to their local councils. All right.
Yeah.
So, Lucky Phil, maybe don't go there. You have to change your name to Unlucky Phil.
That would be, I think that might be enough to push me into vegetarianism for a little while. If I cut into a piece of roast chicken and found maggots.
Found stuff moving in it. Yeah.
I think I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to have some broccoli.
Yeah.
just the broccoli for me, please.
That probably would drive me to do that. But it's the same thing that would happen if you gave me broccoli with worms in it. It would drive me to eat.
Yeah, right. It'd push you to meat.
Yeah. So nobody's safe is really what we're saying. All right. How about this one? A convicted Parker's Kohl's thieves. So let's go to another retail store while we're here.
From Woolworths to Kohl's.
Kohl's. Yes. Argued for a lesser charge because the items were on sale. So these two men were convicted of a felony theft for stealing stuff at the Kohl's. $2,000 worth of merchandise at Kohl's.
Yeah.
They argued
in
court.
They wanted a smaller sentence.
Yeah, they want to get hit less because the items were on sale, and they say they had coupons. Which is so stupid.
Yeah, but you didn't use the coupons.
No.
What the hell?
You didn't. Also, listen to this Breaking Bad ass sounding pair. Michael Green, age 50, and Byron Bolden, age 37. That's some Walter.
Oh, yeah, that's totally some Walter White, Jesse Pinkman business right there.
Time.
Yeah.
Grab the merchandise, bitch, as one of them said.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Kohl's, bitch.
The two men were dubbed KitchenAid Mixer Crew because of the high-end KitchenAid appliances they stole.
Good for them. Those are really expensive.
They're expensive as hell, those things.
Yeah.
I bought one Kim one year, and it was a lot.
I could have been, if something would have happened with me and that that giant Casio keyboard I stole from Montgomery Ward's and the Nintendo, what would my pithy burglar nickname would have been? Like the Montgomery Ward sticker bandit or something like that.
Yeah, what would that be? You need a creative one like they did here.
The Super Bandit Brothers or something.
I love it. Oh, Brian will never get it. He'll never have to answer for that crime.
All right. No, thank goodness. Thank goodness Micromy Rewards isn't even around anymore.
Nope.
They've forgotten about
Plus
it.
Plus your statute of limitations, I think, kicks in. Or wait, that doesn't matter for theft. Done. I don't know how that works. Right. Is Brian confessing to a crime he can still be persecuted for or prosecuted for?
I don't know. Well, let's not dwell on it.
Let's pretend we never even mentioned it. We'll just keep going. This happened in Colorado, by the way. I should have mentioned that. It's a Colorado story.
So it's Parker, Colorado. I know Parker.
Yeah. You've probably been there. Let's see. In Colorado, theft under $2,000 is a misdemeanor offense, but the documented value of the item stolen was $2,094.98, making it a felony. So that's why they're doing this. They're trying to shave that 94 or 98 off of there.
Yes. Well, all right, that's the question. If these items were on sale, do you charge them by the crime committed charge? Is it the sale price or the actual retail price? There's a valid point. Although, does that mean that they specifically went through the store saying, "Ooh, that's a really good price on this KitchenAid mixer bowl"? All right, I'm taking it.
Yeah,
put it under my jacket or something.
Also, where does tax come in on this? Do you have to pay? If you stole something and the tax value put it over the amount, does that also make
it
a felony?
Right. If you steal $1,999 worth of stuff, the tax will put it over the top.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anyway, these guys are screwed. The KitchenAid mixer crew, they're going to probably just have to cop to a felony. I don't think the judge is going to go for it.
Well, when they get put in, when they get put in jail, hopefully they blend.
Well, I don't know if we can go on after that one. That was that was like a show ending joke.
That's a show. Yeah. No, you want the show ending one?
Yeah.
It just goes to show you the crime is very whiskey.
Oh gosh. Oh. I like that one. I hate because it reminds me of the May the 4th be with you. It's like the
because it plays upon a sound of a speech impediment.
Yeah, it's a speech impediment.
It's joke across.
Exactly. Yeah. Hate that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, Steven Schleicher will be with us. He is from MajorSpoilers.com, has a bunch of stuff to talk about, including a very cool project they're working on right now that you guys can check out for yourselves. I played a little a teaser of that last week, but he'll have more to say. So stick around for that. In the meantime, Brian, let's do a song.
You know, and I don't know if Steven listened to ANTP, but man, that was ANTP finals level tease.
It was good. You would have won the year. Man,
you would have won the year.
Yeah.
Hey, let's introduce you to a new band called Radiobot. This is made up of the guys Brett Scallions, that's his name, Billy Harvey, and Eddie Wall. This is the band's one of the first singles. They're getting ready to release their debut album this coming spring, and they've also released a cover that has made it into the top 40 of the Coverville Countdown, which starts this week. So listen for that. Anyway, the band is Radiobot, and trying to see where they came from. Nashville. When they were in lockdown in 2020 with the pandemic, Billy was in Nashville, and Eddie and Brett were both in California, but they created this, the start of this album via Zoom and FaceTime. Good for them, man.
Wow.
It's awesome.
That's great.
The album is going to be called Concrete and Desert next year. Here is the initial song. Here's the first single. It is called This World's on Fire.
Everything in front of me just ain't what it used to be. It's over now. Children with technology losing on reality. And it's all gone now. Sure as can be. Just like you and me. Everyone around can see this world's on fire. Yeah, this world's on fire. People fighting in the streets. We're homeless, search for something they can eat. Let's all help them now. Watch the news that you believe. Shame the ones you never want to see. With your blinders on. Everyone around can see this world's on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Meats keep meatier, beets keep beatier, chips keep chippier, dips keep dippier, Tupperware freshness, that's our promise. Look at all the ways we keep it.
Straight shooter.
And we're back. Please tell me who that was again.
Yeah, that's the band Radiobot with their brand new song, The World's on Fire. And Max Trollbot, good point. I didn't even bring up the fact that Brett Scallions is the original lead singer of the band Fuel. So if you like Fuel, you probably like that. He also tours with the living members of The Doors to do, as The Doors, when The Doors go out on tour, Manzarek and Krieger, they tour with Brett Scallions from Fuel.
I like Fuel.
Yeah,
I well, did not. Then, yeah,
then you will like this.
I fully expect to. All right, everybody, hold on to your butts. It's this.
And now, welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Oh, as we hurtle toward the holidays or the final bits of the holidays, we have to spend more time with Mr. Steven Schleicher and talk about nerd shit. Steven, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
Hello.
Good morning. It's good to have you here. How have things shaping up for you nicely for the holiday? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah. We are cruising into the upcoming holiday season with all the packages purchased except for one, which was suddenly brought to our attention yesterday from the youngest.
Oh, no.
And you guys can argue for or against this and right. why. He already has, like, the previous generation, the Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that was.
Xbox One.
He's like, yeah. his older brother has the new Xbox.
All right.
Okay.
Dad, I
horrible
think,
names with those things. I cannot keep track of what the newest one is or the second oldest or whatever.
Yeah.
Dad, I want an Xbox S.
He wants the Series S. What does his brother? Okay. What does his brother have?
The highest end one.
The X. Okay, so he has a Series X. The other kid wants a Series S. All right.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to go for it. You're gonna have to get it.
I mean, we already spent so much money on this kid with all these other things that he got, and he's like, I really want it. I want an S, Dad. Well, way to go, you know, a week before Christmas after we bought all your other gifts. You know, I spent literally from the 1st of October until November, you know, into November. I'm like, hey, have you got any thoughts on what you might want for Christmas? No, I don't know what I want. No, I don't know what he does this every year.
Mm. Yeah.
So give me the argument from your side, Scott, on why he should get an Xbox S.
Well,
oh, nice. This is whether or not he gets an S depends right now on Scott's level of convincing.
Well, all right. So here's what I would say. The value of the current Xbox lineup is twofold. One, that's decent hardware, but the main reason I like them is I think Game Pass is a really good value. It's like an incredible value for people who don't want to just buy a ton of games and give them to their kid and hope they play them. Instead, you can give them a ton of games with very little money per month and they can play whatever they want. So that part's kind of a no-brainer, and it's the selling point I tell people, like, if you're going to get a console this year, I would go Xbox for that reason. There are offerings on the PlayStation side that are okay, but they're not nearly the value. So there's questions about that. Now, he's not even saying to you, well, I want a PlayStation or I want to, you know, you're not trying to make that determination.
No. He knows he wants an Xbox Series S.
Yeah, if he wants an S, he's asking for the less expensive one. So that's good.
That's a pro, yeah.
They will, for the most part, run everything the same as an X at a lower resolution. So instead of running at 4K like the X does, the Series S runs at 1440p, which is plenty for most everybody. And even TVs that do 4K look great in 1440p. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. The only other consideration is the hard drive is much smaller in the S. Also, it has no optical drive. So if he wants to buy discs or wants to play Blu-rays or anything in there, he's screwed on that end. Only the X has the optical drive.
All right, Brian, you tell me. You be the Grinch and say, no, kid, you ain't getting a Series S.
All right, here you go. I'll take the counterpoint, Brian. You waited too long. You're getting socks.
Yeah, you're getting socks. Case nice closed. Socks. Good socks, yeah. But
good. Socks. You'll get some nice socks. Series S socks.
Yeah.
The S stands for socks.
There you go. Oh, I like that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you for that. Easy both enough. Sides. Yeah. I'm now going to have his older brother now advocate for him.
Yeah, I was going to, you first came on, I was going to ask you, what do kids your age ask for this time of year, this time
your
around?
Kids' age, yeah.
It sounds like they're just asking for the same old stuff kids always ask for, games and, something cool. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Good luck with it, with your decision-making. They're not bad. You go to Costco, you can get like a bundle for cheap on those things.
Costco's like 300 miles away from here.
Oh, I forget.
By the time I spend the gas money to go to Costco and come back, it'll be more than just buying him the Xbox Series X.
I heard Bill Burr the other day talking smack about Hayes. He was driving through there.
Oh, really?
Good for him. Yeah, wow. Good for him.
He was driving through for some tour, something he was doing in Kansas. I don't know what it was. And just brought up Hayes. He goes, man, have you guys ever had to drive through Hayes, Kansas? That was a brap. And he's just like ripping on it. I'm like, oh.
Well, from the... Everybody who's passed through Hayes on I-70, you look at it and you're like, what the?
This is a place?
Yeah, but you go downtown and it's fine. You go further past. You go further south past the highway. It's just fine.
Trust me.
I'm not saying it's great.
I live in a city that for a long time people were worried about for fake reasons, but yet they still worried. They were like, there are too many Mormons there. I don't know what I'd do. Like that whole thing was great for us because it kept prices down. Housing prices, cost of living stayed nice and, reasonable. And then something changed after the pandemic where everybody heard how awesome it is here. And now they're all coming here and ignoring the old fears. Get back to the old fears. Yeah. All the prices are going up.
This is what happens when you host Nerdtacular for like a decade in Utah.
Yeah, finally.
All these people from out of town come in and then they spread the word. And this is your fault.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
Chamber of Commerce needs to be knocking on your door.
Yeah, those jerks. Well, anyway, hey, let's talk about this stuff.
Okay.
Rebel Moon's coming out this weekend. Now, I will tell you that leading up to this, I was excited because to me, this was Zack Snyder free of all of his DC commitments. He no longer has to try to polish that turd. He can go work on stuff maybe he's better at. I like 300. I really like 300 a lot. I liked his Watchmen take. I thought that was a great movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of nice things to say about quite a bit of Zack Snyder's work. Not all of it, but some of it.
Sure.
So this, I was like, oh, big science fiction epic. It's a part one of two thing. It's Netflix, so it's going to be, home right away. I can watch it right away. All these things, getting all excited about Rebel Moon. And I also really like that actress in it. I always forget her name, but she's great. She was the mummy in that horrible mummy movie, but she's in other stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
Can't think of her name, but anyway, she's in the third Star Trek movie, which was my favorite.
Yes.
She had all that makeup, alien lady. Anyway.
The black and white makeup on her face,
Yeah. She's cool. Anyway, so she's in it. She looks like kind of the main star or whatever. And then the reviews landed. It's getting ripped to shreds once again. Yeah. And I heard from a little bird who works in Hollywood, who I can't say their name, but somebody told me.
What, Twitter?
No, that's X now. That'd be a dirty bird now. Sure. But they told me that there's an extended edition of this film already done.
Yes.
And that they're holding it so they can call it the Zack Snyder cut. And it kind of goes with what we talked about on Film Sack for next week's roundtable. But that's a mistake. This person's like, I've seen both cuts and the extended edition is really good. But Netflix is just doing this to create a weird bubble of excitement about a possible cut because they know how his fans are. That really bugs me. It feels very manipulative.
Oh, God, if that's really the case.
If that's the case, yeah, none of this I can confirm. But if that's the case, Brian, how annoying is that?
It's incredibly annoying. Like, that shouldn't be a thing you strive for, regardless of how well it works.
I know. I hate it. I know all this is a business. I know that it's an industry. Yeah. But still, especially given his reputation. So, anyway, I just wanted to get that out of my head. I'm still going to watch it. I think it looks rad. It was originally supposed to be a Star Wars movie. Isn't that the deal, Steven?
That's the rumor, was that he pitched it to Lucasfilm and they were like, no. And he's like, fine, I'll just go do my own thing. Yeah. And he did.
Yeah, because it's got lightsabers and all kinds of Star Wars.
You watch it and you're like, yeah, this is Star Wars. This is Zack Snyder's Star Wars.
Yeah. But I mean, special effects look cool. It looks like it's science fiction. I'm always in for
it. I'm down with it. I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out. And if they release a Snyder cut later on to include, you know, 5 extra hours of story, I'm down for that too. I mean, but there is a part one and a part two, right? So we know that there's a second movie coming out. So maybe they're saving it for the one really long 25-hour Zack Snyder marathon.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll probably watch it too, just to see, just to experience. To be honest, I think the Justice League Zack Snyder cut worked better than the original. Too bad that they had to reuse the footage that they already had and use effects that were not completely done for that extended cut version, but it was fine. I didn't have any problem with it. So.
Yeah, it was all right. A little long, but it was all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, listen, you can't get probably all of what Zack Snyder wants to put into Rebel Moon. So we go to comic books.
Oh.
And so Titan Comics has announced, coming out in January, Rebel Moon House of the Blood Axe number 1, which is following the characters of Devorah and Darian Blood Axe, who I'm guessing we're going to meet in this movie. And we get more backstory for these characters in a comic book series coming out in January from Titan Comics.
Mm. You excited? You think they're going to be good? You think they'll be... these tie-ins are hit and miss, right? Sometimes they're trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. people are going to accuse me of just always doing this, and that's fine. Do what you have to do. But there was a really great slight prequel comic put out around the time of Fury Road that talked about just the lead up to what happened to Fury Road, which is a really great filler bit for a lot of what Furiosa is supposed to be. And it's canon, so supposedly you can glean stuff from that. But that was really well written and drawn. It was a beautiful little run.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it can be done right with tie-ins. I just, it's so hit and miss. And I'm
down with the art in this. It looks really good. And I'm sure the story's good too. I think the thing that would say, oh, do I really, really, really want to read this is, how good's the movie that makes me want to go, I need to know more about these characters, right?
Right.
You guys were talking about Dune Part 1 a little bit ago. And of course, Boom Studios, they have been releasing 3 or 4 Dunes comic book series that tie into, you know, the book. The latest one looks at the final house or the final group of people from the Dune universe. That one will launch in January as well as kind of the lead up to part two. So, yeah, I have no problem if companies want to do this. I mean, if you go back all the way to Star Wars, since we're talking about Rebel Moon, you know, Marvel had a comic book tie-in to that series, right? It retold the Star Wars movie in comic book form. Mm-hmm. And then after that, starting with, what, issue 7 or 8 or something like that, went off in a whole new direction and did whole new things and really kind of solidified telling comic book stories in the Star Wars universe as a big thing that continues today. In fact, I think this week I was just doing the previews for comics that are coming out this week. I think there's like 4 or 5 Star Wars comics coming out this week.
Jeez.
So, yeah, you never know when a franchise is going to take off and to be in kind of on that ground floor like Titan is with Rebel Moon or Boom Studios with Dune. You never know what people are going to lock onto.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the supersized late 70s comic they did for the Star Wars tie-in? And they were like bigger than normal.
Yeah.
What was they were called?
Marvel supersize or giant size.
Giant size. But there was also like a, I thought there was like a, another name for them. Something sized.
I had that whole set and I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah.
Lost it.
Yeah, I think it's just giant size Star Wars. Because that's kind of, it's a Marvel special edition.
Okay. Just special edition.
Yeah. And it was bigger. Yeah.
I heard somebody yesterday arguing pretty heavily for Marvel to bring back, I forgot what Marvel's was called, but you know, like the Vertigo line on DC, and they have Black Label now and all that. A more adultish.
Gritty.
Take.
Yeah.
Gritty.
Was it Marvel Knights was the one that was the R-rated
That's
one?
That's what it was. Right. Knights.
Yeah. And Punisher. And
do you think they'll ever, I mean, they have enough reason
Treasury edition. That's what I was trying to think of. Thank you, Rob L. Marvel Treasury edition.
Haberdashery edition.
The Haberdashery.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah. That's where you get the hats.
Treasury
made.
Edition.
Well, anyway, watch for that. That's coming January for those who are looking for that.
January 10th. Cool.
All right. Well, what if I'm a guy who likes UFOs? What's up for me?
Yeah, time? I was going to ask you guys if you are into UFOs or not. If you were into the whole lore of the UFOs from the 1940s through the
into it is a weird. It's a weird. I mean, I'm always curious when there's new information leaked from the government that there might be UFOs, but I wouldn't consider myself a UFO
a believer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I want to believe.
Yeah,
that's why I want to believe.
As someone who thinks it's all bullshit, I still enjoy stories about it, so I'm down with that.
Well, during lockdown, right towards the end of lockdown, a bunch of comic creators were jumping on Substack doing original stuff.
Yeah.
And so James Tynion IV and Michael Avon Oeming, that you guys may know from the Powers series over at Image Comics for a long time now, it's over at Dark Horse. They teamed up to do a Substack series called Blue Book, which is based on all the Project Blue Book stuff. They started out with the story of Betty and Barney Hill and their abduction. And there is then they continued on with that. Dark Horse Comics has since picked up those Substack only comics and are releasing them in print. And this week is Blue Book 1947, which takes a look at Kenneth Arnold case, where he's flying around and he sees these shapes following him, and that's where we get the term flying saucer is from him. So they're going to look at that that story of Kenneth Arnold. One of the cool things is over at Major Spoilers right now, Dark Horse reached out to us and said, hey, do you ever wonder how Michael Avon Oeming puts together his comic books? Would you like some behind the scenes stuff and commentary of him doing that? So we have that over there right now. So if you want to see his sketches that he does in his notebook, and you want to see, how he develops and what he thinks about when he's building up a comic book page, we've got that now at majorspoilers.com for the upcoming Blue Book 1947 #1, which arrives in February. But comic shop owners, they have a thing called final order cutoff date, which is today. So if you want to get that and make sure that you have it, you need to let your comic shop know that you want it today.
This is awesome. Look at this. This is cool.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff. Yeah. I really dig it.
I know those all the variant covers, but also like the sketchbooks, the internal art sketchbook stuff is really cool.
Yeah, I love
that stuff. Yeah. I love to see how rough they go in their initial concepts.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better about how rough mine are, because I am very rough in my sketches. And sometimes I think that's not good, and then I see someone else's who's like really good, and I'm like, oh, well, your sketches look like shit too.
That's one of the fascinating things. If you ever get to see... What's the company? IDW used to put out these artist editions where you got to see the comic in its original size. They're taking it right from the Bristol board and reprinting it in that size. You can see where the whiteout was applied. You can see where they had to tape on different dialogue or change a composition and tape that in. And sometimes you get a glimpse of what the pencils look like underneath the inks. And looking at the difference between the original pencils and then what the inker did, if it's a different inker, to clean that up is kind of amazing.
Yeah. This is a good opportunity to remind people about this. When I was in Columbus, we went to the Columbus comics museum thing that they have there. It's a fully curated museum dedicated to comics, comic book art, newspaper comics, that sort of thing. The entirety of Calvin and Hobbes's, original sketches and inks and finished panels and everything are all there. They all have them under glass in these temperature controlled rooms, and it's really cool. Highly recommend doing that, because when you do that, you get to walk around and see not just like an issue of Mad Magazine and something Mort Drucker did, which is what I got to see, because they were doing a Mad Magazine exhibit at the time, and you see all the blue pencil underneath, which none of that photographs, so that's why it's not showing up in the final. You see their fixes and tweaks. There's a piece of paper taped on there to cover up something that used to say. What did it used to say? I don't know. Like, it's awesome. If you ever get a chance to go tour that place, it's just right there on campus at what's the name of the school? LSU, not LSU. What is it? Ohio State University. You just go in there, ask for a tour of the comics thing, and you'll never regret it if you're into that stuff. Because I held in my hand like Bill Watterson original stuff, and that felt really good. And a lot of artists have dedicated, or a lot of comic creators have just donated all their shit there. Just said, here's all the stuff.
They have a graduate program. Maybe they have the doctorate program now on comic book. That's the degree is comic books.
Oh, and, that's cool.
What is his name? Oh, it's a guy from the Batman movies, Michael Uslan.
Mm.
He is the one that purchased the rights to make the Batman movies. And so that's why we have the Batman movies, is because of him.
Oh, cool.
But he was the one that helped originally start a comic book program at, I believe, Ohio.
Was Ohio State? Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he's got a great story of how he walked in and they're like, why would we want to do this? And he just told them the story of, you know, how Superman is essentially a allegory, especially when they're, you know, sending him to Earth is an allegory for Moses in the river in the basket.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we never thought about that. Congratulations. You have a program.
And part of that place, so they had us wear masks. Because some of this stuff is old and brittle, you know, stuff from the 30s and 40s. It's so worth seeing.
Extra moisture from people breathing on it.
Yeah. If you're ever there though, it's so worth seeing. It's so cool. All right. Let's talk about, Batman and Dylan Dogg are teaming up.
Are you guys familiar with Dylan Dogg?
No, only because of you.
So, yeah. So there may be some of our listeners may be familiar with Dylan Dogg because there was a Brandon Routh movie that failed to take off in the movie theaters in 2011 and kind of torpedoed the franchise. I don't know why, because it's actually a pretty good movie, loosely based on the comic book series, an Italian comic book series, a horror series, about a paranormal investigator who lives in London and takes on all sorts of crazy cases, vampires and werewolves and demons and those kinds of things. And it's a long-running series that's been around since 1986 or something like that. And it's relatively unknown here in the United States. Dark Horse has put out a couple of collections of this over the years. But Batman and Dylan Dogg are going to team up in a miniseries kicking off in March of 2024. It's a 3-issue miniseries. It's 88 pages long, and we're going to see how the Clown, Prince of Crime, the Joker, and Dylan Dogg and Batman and one of Dylan Dogg's arch-nemesis, how they, you know, they take him down. They have to team him up, which is weird because, I mean, yes, I realize that Batman is a popular character, and anytime you can do a crossover with Batman, it usually turns out pretty cool. But for whatever reason, this feels like a 2-issue miniseries that came out either late 90s, early 2000s. It was the Batman Hellboy Starman crossover.
Oh, yeah.
That was so weird, but it worked out so well just because, you know, Batman does deal with some paranormal stuff every once in a while. But to see them just go all in with this Italian comic book is crazy.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that in March if people are interested in Dylan Dogg.
Dylan Dogg's powers, or does he have any?
He's just a normal guy he's your Mulder. He's a normal guy that goes and investigates all of these paranormal things, and sometimes he encounters real paranormal stuff that is pretty scary. So
it just seems like if he was a DC or Marvel guy, he would turn into a dog.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, that would be his power. He's dog-like.
The
only thing that if you I don't know if you can track down the movie or not with Brandon Routh, but the closest I can compare it to is like Constantine, if it was not, if Constantine was just, you know, a normal guy instead of having powers. So that's probably about the closest I could compare it to.
You know, I think very fondly on the Spawn-Batman crossover. That was like a few issue thing.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I like when they do that.
You should do Dylan Dogg for FilmSack.
Exactly. Dylan Dogg, Dead of Night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's write that down. Huh. I'd be down with that. Sounds great. Now, finally, let's talk about what you got going on this Wednesday morning, part two of your look at the DC implosion. People are saying very good things about this series. So
thank you.
What's going on?
You played the teaser last Monday after the show and everything, and I appreciate that.
Sure.
That was only the tip of the iceberg because in part one, which we released last week, we took a look at the DC explosion, this plan by DC Comics to release 52 new comics, but at the same time, kind of radically change the price structure, the distribution model, and how stories were told, even though Marvel was kind of doing that already. But specifically, the distribution model and the price structure of comics in the 1970s. And it was a huge, huge plan that never happened.
Mm. Interesting.
And so in part two, which is coming out this week, we're going to look at one of the big factors that played a part in the DC implosion. All of these comics not getting on the store shelves And in fact, DC ended up like canceling an additional 23 comics over the next year because of these events. So
wow. Did they?
Yeah.
Is any of that available now? Stuff like old, like
yeah. So some of the they did do a run called Cavalcade of Canceled Comics. They have collected those in places where you can read some of those stories, and they are pretty good. Some of them never even got off the drawing table. So.
Okay, interesting. That's fascinating stuff. Yeah, the series is very good. Congratulations on winning America's Next Top Podcaster Award for the fourth year.
Thank you. Is there prize money involved?
Yeah, a little bit of prize money.
$1.50
$1.50
it's a lot of fun doing the research on this, and I think it's fascinating because it was like, I'm going to say like 10 years ago, I was interviewing comic book writer Mark Waid. And he kept mentioning this DC implosion. I was like, well, what are you talking about? And he started talking about the story, which I kind of knew, but I didn't know one of the big reasons for why it happened. Yes, there is some probably upper management issues. David Sarnoff was still in charge of Warner at the time. And he was like, no, we need to cut 40% of this stuff. Knock it off. But there's reasons why these things happened.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I think the thing that people want to be listening to is, how much of this stuff that I am talking about has happened again and again and again and is currently happening right now? And I think that once you have a better understanding of the past and how we're just repeating a lot of these things in the past, the next time that something happens, a character is killed or a new miniseries or maxi series is released, that's a giant crossover, you know, you're not outraged by stuff, but you're sitting there going, oh, no, no, they've done this before.
And either,
Yeah. And so hopefully that'll make some sense to people. Too,
yeah.
So.
Do check it out, you guys. Majorspoilers.com. All the links you need are over there. I think you're going to enjoy it. So please do.
So produced.
Steven, I guess this is our last time we talked to Steven before.
Last time I'm talking to you guys for the rest of this year.
What? Yeah. What? That's crazy.
And this is what you brought to us.
Yeah. I know, that's right.
Yeah. Vampires.
Yeah.
Dylan Dog.
Dylan Dog.
I am contributing to the future success of Film Sack, right?
That's right.
I totally are.
And we absolutely should watch that.
Since I'm not going to be able to talk to you guys until next year, and I know you're still getting over some throat issues there, Scott, I just want everybody who's listening to stay healthy and stay hydrated.
Oh, I'll try to do that. 2024, the year we stay hydrated.
Thanks, Steven.
All right. That is it for Steven today until next year, I guess. Kind of feels weird. Got a quick thing I want to read from a listener before we go. This came, I think, an email. Says, hello, Scoot and Boogie. Apparently, McDonald's in Korea listens to the TMS for inspiration. The McDonald's hot dog snack wrap is only available in Korea. Thanks, Raymond. Baby Yoda tea and the occasional Twitch drop in. Basically, it's a Doggerito. They're making it at...
it totally is, yeah.
If we're McDonald's. Yeah. I'm going to get one somehow.
Is there a photo? You're going to have it shipped from Korea.
Yeah, I got to figure it out somehow, some
way. I like
the
fact that they've got bacon and lettuce. I mean, this, you know...
Look at that.
They've kind of upped your Doggerito game.
That's true. The lettuce part, definitely a pump up.
Bacon. I can't tell if that's cheese or what the sauce is that's in there.
Some kind of... I don't know what that is. Sweet and soury thing?
Yeah.
Hard to say. But yeah, McDonald's stealing my wife's out of town food menu. What the hell? Anyway, thank you for that. We love it when we get you guys' emails, and they come to us all the time at themorningstream@gmail.com. You can also text us at 801-471-0462. We got more of that stuff lined up for the rest of this week. That is going to do it for us today. Brian, let's get out of here. Do you have you probably have a song you can just play and then everyone can hear it?
I have a song that I can just play. And this one, I think this one, if my notes are correct, somebody sent this in August 21st, 2014 as a request for a TMS cover. So it's almost 9 years old. Actually, almost 10 years old, I should say. Over 9 years old.
Crazy.
And if I'm reading it correctly, it's Phil, Lucky Phil from Sydney, Australia. You can tell me if this is the same Phil. Hey, Brian and Scott, you just played a cover of this song recently, so understandable if you don't want to play it for some time. But this is a cover by an Australian band, which was a big hit here in the 90s. To me, this is the definitive version of this song. Hubba Hogo. Phil from Sydney, Australia.
I can understand why you might take some time to play it. Here we are nine years later.
Sam, this is why, because we just played it then, and the 9-year statute of limitations on playing this song is good. Here it is from, where does come from? Really just came from the album of the same name, covering the song by Carly Simon that we finally figured out who she wrote it about and really didn't really care. This is the song You're So Vain by Chocolate Starfish.
We'll see you got, ew. We'll see. Yeah. Sorry, caught me off guard.
It's a though. Booty hole.
Yeah, that's a booty. That boy, girl, that's a booty hole.
That's a booty hole.
All right, there you go. Then I got a little hung up on that. Tomorrow there's a new show. There's a new show Wednesday. Guess what? There's a new show on Thursday. There's a show every day this damned week, and a play date on Friday. What the
play
hell?
Play date on Friday, a Christmas play date miracle.
It is a miracle, really, truly. But we hope to see you guys for all of it, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Your scarf, it was a prayer card. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself gavotte. And all the boys dreamed that there'd be a partner. There'd be a partner. And you're so vain. You probably think the song is about you. You're so vain. You think the song is about?
Get more at frogpants.com.
Frosty, man, frosty.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.